Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
And now it's my turn. I was just talking to my producer, Elif, off the air and said, okay, so when are we on and when are we off in this half hour? Just some shop details. It's 9:11 and I guess we're on. Good morning. It's John Williams and we're here weekdays from 9 to noon on WGN Radio. Okay, so I just mentioned to Bob Surratt, who's this famous disc jockey in town, and loves to talk about and play music because he knows it so well. And I don't. I'm not. But there's this TV show that we watch now called Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. It's on NBC.
Oh, I love that show.
And it's the weirdest dang thing.
It is weird.
Here's the description of it. After an unusual event, whip-smart computer coder Zoe Clark magically begins to hear people's innermost thoughts and desires through popular songs. Suddenly, strangers, friends, co-workers, and family are unknowingly singing their feelings. So imagine if we were all sitting here talking about something and we knew that Dave Bennett had something he wanted to say, but he couldn't quite bring himself to tell us that. And then, all of a sudden, Dave does a song and dance number, right? And and all of us, it would be choreographed then. And then you would sing and we would channel your innermost thoughts and it's revealed to this Zoe. And everybody else isn't in on it, and yet they're doing it. It's kind of in her imagination or reality or whatever, but she sees their thoughts as they perform them in song and dance. It's kind of like Glee meets something. And the people on the show are really good, right, Mary? They're very good singers and dancers.
Well, they have to be. Yeah.
It's like Broadway quality stuff. It's really fun. So last night, Mary Steenburgen, who, as it turns out, is a bit of a singer anyway. I didn't know this. She plays the squeeze box in real life. So she bursts into a song, and it's just delightful. This is WGN. Now it's my turn. The U.S. Postal Service has issued this warning about email scams that claim to be from the Postmaster General. One email that you might be getting notifies recipients about a failed delivery attempt. Literally, a literal package was supposed to be delivered to your door. And guess what? It's worth $100,000. And it asks for personal information in order to deliver it. Another email scam is asking for payment on unpaid online postage charges. The Postal Service does not email customers directly to demand money. It's important to understand how cybercrime is happening, how it could affect you. Identity theft is stolen every 2 seconds. They are working right now on getting yours. And you could miss identity threats if you're not monitoring it sufficiently. If you're just monitoring your credit, that's not good enough. Now, there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects this wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock sees threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with the promo code LifeLock. It's real simple. You call 1-800-LIFELOCK or you visit LifeLock.com. Have you done this yet? And then use the promo code LifeLock to save 25%.
VJ Records, the music label that might have been bigger than Motown. Their meteoric rise and fall Thursday on WGN TV News at 9.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ennett. So I'm watching this TV show with Daisy, the dizzy, dappled dachshund, and Brenda. It's called Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. And, you know, I don't even care that much, Mary, about the storyline. She's a coder. There's office hijinks and drama. It's just, to me, how the scenes ramp up to these various song and dance numbers. Again, it's the story of this coder at a business, and she magically hears people's innermost thoughts. And so in one scene last night, the character played by Mary Steenburgen is feeling a little forlorn about the fact that her husband has had some sort of injury, and now he can't communicate with him very well. They hook him up to a computer, and he's finally able to say something, and he says he wants lemonade. And it bothers her a little bit that after all of this, his first words back to the family are a request for a beverage. And she's his long, loving, and now suffering wife, and so she sort of dissolves into this song.
I can think of younger days was everything a girl could want to do. I could never see tomorrow, but I was never told about the sorrow.
Isn't this perfect?
So, how can you mend a broken heart? How can you stop the rain from falling down? How can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world go round?
And they don't overdo it.
And how can you mend?
Goes another line.
This broken mind.
She'll be done.
How can a loser ever win? Please help me mend my broken heart. And let me live again.
It sings perfectly what she was going through in that scene. Kind of makes you think of that, doesn't it?
So pretty.
Yeah, yeah. Props to you, Mary Steenburgen. And they just did that one verse.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't see that episode yet.
Thanks, so
I saw the one before that where... yeah, they were trying to communicate that he wanted to get a little frisky.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
What was the song? Did they burst into song then?
I don't remember. Yeah, she sang as well. And, it's really weird because he's comatose in the show. He's
right,
kind of comatose,
exactly.
Just staring.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he just starts singing, and only she can see him singing.
The showrunner for that series, I believe it's that, wrote what I read was a 27-page opus about the rules and her thoughts on when they will and will not burst into song, so that it will always have context. It won't just be for fun. It will reveal something that we would not otherwise. You know, there's whole thoughts about how they're going to weave the music into this silly show. And it's really well done. Like I said, I don't personally care that much about the storyline. I haven't followed it enough. But whenever a song's coming around, sometimes they're funny. Sometimes they're complicated dance numbers. But they're always really well done.
I think everybody who likes Glee will love this show.
Zoe's,
it's kind of the same.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Premise.
Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. You get it? What was the show you thought I was going to promote?
Oh, when you brought that up, I was watching The Good Doctor. I watched The Good Doctor the autistic doctor.
The most ridiculous premise for a show ever.
Yes.
If you thought Doogie Howser was like... Oh, stop it. Doogie Howser's what, like this 16-year-old doctor.
Right, which was ridiculous.
Doing surgery, but he was Doogie. He was so smart, and he had a girlfriend, and yet he was a doctor. And if my doctor is 16 years old, I'm asking for another doctor. God bless you, Doogie, but I can't have it.
Exactly. Well,
in this show, the kid's brilliant, but he's autistic, so he'll say things that are inappropriate. He's
has no bedside manner.
No bedside, I know.
Sure. Just blurts out whatever.
And for some reason, the storyline on this show is now him dating and exploring his sexuality.
Yes.
Okay.
A pathologist.
Anyway. Yes.
So, yeah, anyway, they were operating. He's always operating as well on any part of the body,
yeah.
Even though he's a surgeon.
His specialty is everything.
Yeah, specialty is everything. And they broke out in a song, Shine a Light by the Rolling Stones, which is one of my all-time favorite songs. It was on Exile on Main Street.
Yeah.
Love that song. And I'm like, I'm listening to the words, and the melody was so different. I'm like, what song? I know that song. I know the lyrics. Then I realized what it was, and it was being sung during an operation. But on a kid who could not talk, and they were trying to fix his, you know, esophageal pattern, you know, all this other
whatever.
Stuff. Whatever. And it was A.G. and Connie Lim were singing it. Do you
no
know
kidding.
Who that they are?
Well, I know the show. I don't know that I know.
No, that's not a show.
Oh, that's
A.G. is a producer, and Connie Lim, I had to look this up. Connie Lim is a singer, Los Angeles pop singer, and she was singing.
And it was good.
It was really good. Elif would love this song. It's very alternative, very cool.
I just was reading a piece the other day, and they said that there are more series now, musically based, or traditional series like the one we're describing, are integrating music more. And I don't know if it was at first Glee that got this going. There was an attempt to do something like this with a TV show called Cop Rock back in the maybe 90s that wasn't that good, didn't go anywhere. But a lot of this stuff now is actually very well done.
Yeah, like This Is Us does it all the time.
Yeah.
They do it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
John, Zoe, that show you're talking about, is the best new show in a very long time. It is awesome. Sorry to tell you that, but it's a very old song, John. Well, we know that. Al Green and the Bee Gees are smiling somewhere. Isn't that Mary Steenburgen sung a Herman and Hermits something from the 60s? Yeah, I'll check that out. She's
Moondance. That's what the dad sang, Moondance.
Oh, really?
During that, too, by Van Morrison, yeah.
I love that song. And if you just follow Mary Steenburgen at all, you'll find that she's actually been a pretty good singer for a while. The News Click, our daily web poll question at WGNRadio.com, has been about coronavirus. And yesterday we said the coronavirus has moved the markets. We gave you three options. I'm changing my finances as a result. I'm not doing a thing, or I got no finances to do anything about. 5% of you said you're actually changing your finances, your portfolios or whatever. That was 5%. 81% of you said you're not doing anything. And 14% of you said, I got no finances to do anything about. So it's kind of a moot point for you. Here's what I want you to text me about today. I was at a door the other day. Imagine that. And it had one of these great big long vertical handles on there that invited you to pull the door open. But as I came up to the door, it said push. So while the handle says pull, literally, physically, the words on it say push. You're inclined to pull when you see a big old handle. That doesn't bother me. But I was in the presence of an architect one time, and that is the thing that sets him off. When he sees that, he goes nuts. It's just a little niggling thing that bothers him to no end. I think a lot of us have things like this that are specific to us or our occupations. The fast-talking disclaimers at the end of commercials on radio and TV you're used to. If I become king someday, that's the first thing we're getting rid of, is fast-talking disclaimers. And you don't even care. I'm telling you, it's large in my life.
Yeah, but there's so many other things that should go first, John.
That one is going to be the first thing I do, Dave. Cancer will be second. I'm telling you, it really bothers me. I know an electrician, and I actually know other people have said this, on the switch plates, on their light switches, if the screws aren't all lined up, that will bother them. We had some electricians come to our house the other day. And they changed a five-switch plate. So there was like five screws all in a row there. And every single one of them was turned to the exact same position, you know, horizontal or vertical or at an angle. But I knew that electrician was like, no, I'm going to make sure all those screws are exactly in the right spot. That's an electrician's thing. They're lying there in bed at night thinking, I'll bet those screw plate screws aren't in the right position. And they can't stop thinking about it. It's bugging them. Do you have anything like that? Is there something that is specific to you, maybe because of your occupation or your disposition, and it just follows you, it bugs you a little bit, you're lying there in bed at night thinking, those damn screws aren't in a row?
No, but I do like to have, like, the closet doors completely shut, not the, because we have, like, bifold closet doors. I don't like them, like, half open. I just, I like them...
You
nice and smooth against the wall.
But you started that sentence with no, not really, but no. I do have to have the closet doors.
Oh. But I can also, I can ignore it if I have to.
But you notice it. It is in your world.
I do notice it, and I notice open dresser drawers. But I'm not, like, compulsive about it, but I do. If I'm walking by, I will close the drawer.
I'm not sure if I'm compulsive is the right word. I'm not sure if I'm asking for that, but maybe borderline that. Okay. My number's 312-981-7200. So there's a few that I've experienced or noticed. Dave clearly needs counseling.
John, I have a situation, too, where I'm not that way. I'm not a compulsive person. I had in my guest bathroom the fan and the light switches were switched, so the plate had the first one was the fan, the second one was the light, when I guess it should be the other way around.
Right.
That's the way it, so I just have let it go for years and years, and a friend of mine who just hates it One week was house sitting for me. changed it himself.
Because it was bugging him enough.
Yeah, it was.
God bless him. If he wants to fix some stuff up, tell him we've got a dog he can sit for, and he can change my switch plates and everything. That's funny. Okay, you get the idea. 312-981-7200. We'll take your texts and some of your calls.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Folks are all enjoying their pastries today. Mary, you did your four-seed tournament, right? You gave us your number ones?
I did. I had a lot of donuts and pies in there.
I would go with the Ann Sather cinnamon roll, Brenda's Christmas iced sugar cookie.
So those aren't donuts. What do you?
Yeah, we can't do cookies.
Yeah, I was just going to say a cookie.
I'd like a nice pepperoni pizza. Pizza and my final four.
Yeah. Cookies don't.
Really? Did I violate the rules of the tournament?
Chocolate chip cookies do not count.
No.
Pastries are like, they're made from dough and they're bready.
Yeah.
Okay, but I just want to say this. I've got a bus full of iced Christmas cookies on their way to the tournament. You're telling me they're not going to get to play?
They're going to be sent home. They're forfeiting.
I like talk radio when they talk about
things. Let's talk about things. What about a Pop-Tart? Are they considered a pastry?
Oh, no. I don't think those qualify, Mary.
Why not?
If an iced cookie can't get into the tournament, I don't know how a Pop-Tart makes the tournament.
Pastry? Well, it's like a breakfast paste, doughy kind of.
Really? This tournament committee is rigged.
Excuse me, please. Google a Pop-Tart box, because I'm pretty sure they're called breakfast pastries.
Yes, they do say the word pastry on them.
Well, I said the word pastry, and it didn't seem to get me anywhere.
No, you said cookie.
I just want you to know that we are following the markets, the coronavirus, taxes, and presidential elections. We are paying attention to the news of the world, but sometimes we just can't resist. And yesterday, as it was Fat Tuesday, Poochki Tuesday in Chicago, I was just recollecting some of the great pastry products. Tried to sneak my wife's Christmas cookies in there. The gang would have none of it. And by the way, we had to edit out the part where we thoroughly trashed Dave Ennett's Final Four, which included the dry bagel.
Okay, it was the dry whole wheat bagel, but my number one seed was my wife's chocolate chip banana mini muffins, and you then try to get Brenda's Christmas cookies in there because I obviously had made a good call.
Oh, really? You think that your Final Four was solid? I was actually thinking we could take your Final Four, Mary's, LF Steve's, mine,
yes.
Make a bracket, let everybody vote on whose pastry products.
Oh, mine will get destroyed. I have no idea if it comes down to voting, but on the court, I win.
Okay, Dave. Okay, I don't even know what that means, but fine. I'm happy for you. It's 9:42. Windy City Rehab needs a rehab. I don't know if you watched that TV show. Seems like my mind is on a couple of shows lately, but when you read the papers, this rehab show about places in Chicago that the show goes to and then they rehab it and then they put it back on the market has been getting trashed, not just in the press, but in the courts. What happened to this darling home-flipping show? We'll talk about in about 6 minutes. It's 9:42 on WGN. Incidentally, before the break, we said, tell me that little thing that bugs you. You can't sleep at night. You're lying there thinking about what? John, I like the toilet paper roll from the top down, and I will change yours if I visit your house. John, this is Tom. What bugs me is when people don't set their digital clock on their stove or radio. Thank you. Love the show. Hi, John. My compulsive issues include having all one color hangers in my closet, and my water bottle labels must be facing the same direction in my refrigerator. From 309, newspapers must always sit masthead up. John, when pictures hang on a wall are lopsided, it takes everything in me not to straighten them out for you. John, the edges of rugs must be parallel or perpendicular to the hardwood floorboards. I see that a lot myself. John, my bed has to be made. If for some reason I haven't made it, I will make it before I then get back into it at night. John, milk can never move from its assigned spot in the refrigerator. I didn't know you all had such hard rules. John, misspelled and misused words bug me, and all of my saved receipts must be categorized in the correct order by date. Oldest on the bottom, newest on the top, and the list goes on.
I go the other way. I go oldest on the top.
But you do have an order in mind.
Well, it's just easier than to find them.
Rick, what's the matter with you? You're on. Here's how I'm going to take all these calls.
Hey, oh, that was nice.
What's the Hey, Rick, what's the matter with you?
Hey, nothing much. I haven't seen lighting lately, but I'm going into therapy in a minute. And if I see lighting, like the fluorescent lighting out, that drives me nuts. Absolutely nuts. Because I've done so much work in that in my career. They don't update them. So they got the old type bulbs in there. Flickering. It just drives me nuts. I have a buddy who's got a business. I offered to fix a couple for free.
That's That's when you know you kind of crossed that line. Okay, good luck to you and your therapist. Thank you, Rick. Last couple of calls on this. Those things, you're not obsessive compulsive, but doggone it, you notice some things and they bug you and they stay with you. Joan, you wanted to say what? You're on WGN. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Early in my days when I worked at IBM, I was a word processor. And one of the things I talked about, visual formatting, when things are not formatted correctly, it's not centered, you have a whole line of typing, and the next line is one little word, bugs me to no end. I have to look at flyers. They have to be either all centered or all left or all right. You know, you're trying to make a point. To this day, 45 years later, I'm still looking at formatting.
There are times where I'm typing something and it thinks you're making a list and it automatically puts a 3, 4, 5 in order. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. And and I can't fight it sometimes. I don't know how to fix that. I feel your pain, Joan. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Have a good day. Victor, what was the thing that bugs you to no end? You're on the air.
Yeah, mine takes me back to my school days when the teacher was erasing the board. And they would just miss that one spot of chalk that they wrote on.
Yeah, you can't stop looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. One time I even actually told them, hey, can you erase that spot?
That's so funny. I can just see that now. Thanks for the call, Victor.
Yep, have a good one, John.
Have a good day. Hey, John, when I see grocery carts in the middle of the parking lot, it really bothers me. You want to get out of your car and move them, do you? Do you watch Windy City Rehab? It's this, just like it sounds, rehab show where they take a house, they make it better, they flip it, and then they put it back on the market. You see shows like that on all kinds of channels, all kinds of times, and one of them is called Windy City Rehab. And this Allison Victoria is a bit of a star in that field. She made a name for herself as a kitchen expert, and now she's got this Windy City Rehab show, and it has bought nothing but problems for itself. Robin Lynn writes for Chicago Magazine, and she joins us on WGN. Hi, Robin. It's John. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Good. What's gone wrong with this show? What's happened?
Oh, boy. What has not gone wrong? Well, let's see. What's the latest? You know, they finally resolved a number of issues that they were having with the city. There were 12 stop work orders that the city landed on the show, which meant that a lot of the properties that I think we were slated to see for season 2 of the show, the city said, let's stop work on them and just slapped one of those bright signs on the doors of those properties. So those were lifted, leading us to believe that they were going to be able to resume work again. But now we have a big lawsuit from one of the properties that we saw in season 1. So people were watching, that was a Lincoln Square a home, a really beautiful historic home. And the homeowners of that bought it for $1.36 million and are now suing not only the show, but Allison Victoria, who you named, the contractor that she worked with. And I think they're trying to bring HGTV into that lawsuit as well, suing them for fraud.
I was looking at that one. Mitch Dudek wrote about it in the Tribune, too, and you know, if you're doing this, especially if it's high end, and that's what they do, don't they? They'll take a place that's 3,000 square feet and make it 5,000 square feet. And I think they've always picked a narrow kind of high end market, which I guess is their business and their risk. But sometimes it's absurd the amount of money they put into places or the amount of square footage they put into places that doesn't in my estimation, necessarily need it. And then sometimes they have trouble selling it. But what's really, I think, problematic for them is that the work isn't that good. Or at least that's what this one lawsuit is about. They say that it was not completed to the highest quality, and that's what they advertise. They're literally calling it fraud, right? That you guys are pitching yourself as something that you're not.
Right. And when you're talking about quality, I mean, this is within days of moving in, a leaky roof, shoddy windows. They had water just gushing in from their windows. And I think, you know, you have to ask yourself if you're kind of a glass half full or glass half empty kind of person when you watch these shows. If you think, you know, nothing that happens on TV could be that real, I would never buy anything that was associated with a TV show.
Yeah.
Or if you're the kind of person that thinks, well, if you're going on a show and you're purporting to be an expert, then there should be a little truth that comes with that.
Yeah, no kidding, especially if it's a high-end property, and it sure looks like they're doing great work. And it's not one of those shows, is it, where they have to get it done in 24 hours, right? I mean, it's not one of those things. So
it's unclear what the timeline is. A lot of things are very unclear. With that Lincoln Square show, those were actually not even the homeowners. They were paid actors. So the drama of will they buy it or won't they buy it?
Really?
How much do they like it? Those were not even the people who were really buying it. So a lot of it is not exactly what you're seeing.
Wow. Listen to me. I sound so naive now, but because I know some of those. I get that, but I didn't realize that in that case. And then there's this other lawsuit, right, where they're actually the bank is suing them for defaulting on a loan. Am I right about that?
Yes, there is a Bucktown home that is connected to Windy City Rehab that's facing foreclosure. Now, the host, Allison Victoria, is actually, she's kind of safe from this one. She's not being named in the lawsuit. But, of course, it remains to be seen if that's going to be the case forever, because there's a whole other messy side of this where she is suing a notary public who's been involved with a number of these properties for forging her name. So who knows what she's actually involved in or not. This is like so messy, and if you think about it, pretty Chicago.
What do you mean by that? You mean permits and contractors and stuff?
You've got a shady notary public who's forging names. You've got the city just kind of hunkering down and slapping, you know, stop work orders on things. You've got angry community members. I don't see this kind of, it just feels really like hard scrabbled and kind of dirty. And yeah,
we should talk about Windy City Rehab. Well, let's just talk about something you brought up, and that is the neighbors, because that's what I've heard anecdotally. But a friend of a friend was approached about selling their building or buying their building, and they didn't want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a tenant. And they said, well, guess what? We're going to buy it, and you guys have to move out of this building because we want to rehab it. It's an awesome building and an awesome location. And the guy said, well, I'm just a renter here. Are you telling me you guys are going to buy the building I'm in? And they said, yeah. And they said, hey, why don't we put you on camera and you can talk about the neighborhood? He said, wait a minute. You just told me you're going to evict me, and now you want me to give you some good B-roll for this thing? Forget about it. And they ended up not buying that property, but that just sort of indifference to how it would impact that person. And what I also hear is whole blocks, I think, has given them a bad reputation in town. Am I hearing what you're hearing? Or are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Yeah, well, I think flipping by nature is not necessarily very sensitive to the needs of the community. You're kind of supersizing things in a quick way so that you can make a quick buck. But I think when you add the shooting of a television show to that, you're putting something under construction, and then you're also bringing in a crew. And I think that can be really disruptive to a neighborhood. And again, one where, like you said, you can go in and find a relatively inexpensive property that you can sort of make bigger, better, faster, more without taking into consideration the integrity of the architecture of those neighborhoods.
Well, what are you hearing about the scope or scale of the projects they take on?
I think people think they are biting off more than they can chew, and you're seeing that again with that Lincoln Square home where they not only didn't maintain sort of the cute European quaint aspect of what you look for when you move into Lincoln Square, but they're maybe not up to snuff. Like we said, things like water dripping from the ceilings, water dripping from the windows, and that people are coming back and saying, you know, this is fraud. And in that case, you know, I not only want my money back, but you're deceiving anyone who's watching this show into thinking that you are experts in your field and the show should be taken off the air. HGTV, on the other hand, when we reached out for comment, said, this show's coming back for season two.
Well, isn't that a nice commentary on reality television? Robin Lynn is a writer for Chicago Magazine. Windy City Rehab is what we're talking about, the HGTV show. I guess it's coming back. Although, you said 12 stop work orders from the city? I'm stunned.
Right, which have been lifted. And so they are not free to get any new permits. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're doing in season two. And my guess is that they're going to be working on fixing those existing properties. And my hope really is that they are a little honest, transparent, and authentic about what is actually going on. She's broken up with her work husband, Donovan Eckhart, who is the contractor on the show. So she has a new contractor partner. But I hope that some of the facade of this all goes away. And there's actually a lot of really interesting reality and drama, and you know, that we're talking about here, that they could dig into a little bit.
And I wish they would show Chicago's homes, properties, to the scale that they actually are in neighborhoods and can be in neighborhoods, but
and ought to be, yeah.
And ought to be. By the way, our Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, just texted in. This topic is nothing new with these types of shows, John. It happens all over the country. The producers are trying to make a good show, but not a good house. It's a nice buyer beware from Lou Manfredini. An interesting reading from you, Robin Lynn, writer for Chicago Magazine. Thanks for your time, Robin. We appreciate your thoughts today.
Thank you.
It's 10:07. Good morning. This is John Williams here till noon. And on social media, WGN King John, the president is announcing a news conference on coronavirus with the CDC days after days of mixed messages. That is, members of the Centers for Disease Control are saying that it's not a matter of if, but when we get human-to-human spread of the virus in the United States. The president, while he was in India, was saying, everything's under control, don't worry. I don't know how much we're supposed to worry, but obviously those were statements going in different directions, so maybe there will be a little synergy this evening. Some Republican senators, in fact, from Louisiana and Alabama, were critical of the CDC, at least, because they said that's not what the administration is saying. They were critical of the messaging in general that we've been getting. And I don't know that anybody benefits from saying, oh my God, here it comes, everybody run for the hills. I don't suspect they're going to say that. And I think it is also noteworthy, it's not a bad idea to note that the regular flu is still much more widespread, will take more lives, and will make people more sick. But evidently, this thing is a stronger kind of virus, and if you get it, your problems will be greater. So let's get the messaging all straight and tell the people what we need. Let's show some leadership from the very top, even if they can't stop its inevitable spread. One other hope I have for the president's press conference at 5 o'clock, and that is that he's not taking questions from the crowd. That is, if he wants to talk about the administration's overview, maybe fine. Or do we have a coronavirus czar, as we have, say, an Ebola czar? Fine. But if it's medical questions, Mike Pence, Donald Trump, none of them should be answering these questions. Let's get the CDC, let's get the doctors and scientists to answer those questions.
I think the CDC is supposed to be with him today.
I expect so, but I know that he loves to be the center of attention, even when it's a little out of his comfort zone. And I just see the opportunity for us to take one step forward and two steps back tonight. So hopefully they'll manage this and put us all at as much ease as is possible today. The press conference is at 5 o'clock. Did you guys say, Steve, do you know, are we carrying that this evening?
I don't know that we are.
Yeah, I don't know that it's necessary, to be honest with you. We'll glean the information we can. And
I mean, it could be part of fueling the fears that we're
It's a funny
already
thing,
fanning.
Isn't it? I know that because, and you know, a radio station like this And NBC News and the Chicago Tribune were all trying to convey to you what's happening. And
it's not a little thing, but I don't know that it's what we fear right now.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people are over. Well, we talked about people wearing masks around here and things like that last week.
Guy sitting next to me on the train today had a mask on.
Did he? Yeah.
He was Asian, by the way. They seem to have them handy. So, you know, what are you and I supposed to do about that? And by the way, I think the answer is not a dang thing. I think you can do as much about protecting yourself from coronavirus as you can, say, insulating yourself from what's happening with the markets. You really can't and should not do that much different. Imagine that. So then what's all of this news about? And the other thing is, they say, okay, now it's over 80,000 people infected and this many people in Italy, for instance. They've got a handful of folks in Italy that are suffering from coronavirus. Do you know how many people are in Italy?
Well, that's the thing.
Think about that. Italy, it's a big old country. It's got a lot of tourists. Interesting, because therefore a lot of people could get infected and take it other places. So let's pay attention to that. But just in terms of raw numbers, coronavirus in Italy doesn't mean you should not or cannot go to Italy. Ro was talking about this yesterday with Peter Greenberg. And while he was saying that cruise ships and airlines need to be ready to make amends with customers that want to cancel as a result, in the meantime, there's some really good values out there if you want to go to Europe.
And just getting back to the CDC a little bit and what they said yesterday, you know, and they said that there probably will be more, I think they called it community passage of the virus.
Yeah.
And so what they were saying was that we need to prepare for it and get ready for it. Alex Azar was on Capitol Hill yesterday before Senate committees, taking lumps really from Republicans as well as Democrats.
He was.
He's on the House side today, and the Democrats are going after him saying, that the government should be spending more money. We'll see about that.
They've got one and a quarter, and then they want another one and a quarter that they're going to need to just find. Some of it is being borrowed from other programs. It's taken from the Ebola Fund. Did you know that we had one of those? So we're at about $2.5 billion that we have to spend on this. I don't even know how that gets spent, how much do face masks cost, and what do you do? But I like, for instance, when coronavirus came to Chicago, you remember the press conference the city had? Lori Lightfoot was there, and then they handed it over to the woman that's in the city who is the doctor, a pathologist, I think it was. She was whip smart. She was organized. And she said, we have planned for something like this. And everything that was supposed to happen happened. So we have it in the case of this woman and her husband. We have it under control. And it was a lot of information about a very little thing. But you felt good because you thought, doggone it, they're ahead of this thing. And hopefully we get something akin to that this evening here from the United States government, because I think Chicago had the perfect press conference on this. Was it in January or early February? It was some time ago. And they were really on the ball. At least I felt like that. I felt like in their hands, I do trust this situation. I want to go back to Windy City Rehab for a second. That TV show on HGTV where they take properties and make them even more awesome, and then kind of ruin them. Lots of texts and, calls about that today. John, she's a nasty person. I could never let her work on my house. I don't know that we need to run her down per se, but this is from a home inspector. It says, John, I've been by most of the houses they do on Windy City Rehab. This is from a home inspector, and they are all flawed on the outside. One had plastic corrugated drain pipe hanging from the gutter as a downspout. Here's what I wonder. When you see those shows on TV, maybe it's buyer beware. I mean, what did you think? It was featured on TV, so they look so fabulous, but it's a TV show, and sometimes they're done with time constraints, like a production schedule. And so while it looks terrific, and the people sure do seem to know what they're doing, I would be very leery about buying any of those houses, especially the ones where they're doing it in a week or a weekend, and then they do the big reveal. Oh, my God, I can't believe this happened in a day. I'm thinking, yeah, it didn't happen in a day. It's 10:14. A little while ago, I asked you to tell me what those things are that bug you in the night. Those those things that you think about, like all of the screws and the screw plate of the light switch aren't lined up. What are those little niggling things that annoy you in life? wow, are there a lot of neuroses out there in a minute. WGN John Williams, by the way, that makes me think of the headline in the Tribune today, Anna. Lent in the age of the impossible burger, do rules against eating meat on Fridays apply to fake meat? It's a story in the Chicago Tribune today. Phil Vitale, the restaurant critic at the Tribune, wants to talk about that and a couple of other restaurant reviews, including one in the suburbs. A lot of you say, Phil, come to the suburbs. He has. And that review will come your way. But starting on, what is it, Ash Wednesday through Lent, Catholics over the age of 14 are not supposed to eat animal flesh. So if you have a impossible burger, the fake meat burgers, which look, taste, and feel like hamburger, then what are the rules on that? Well, I think it's pretty simple. But doggone it, they made a story out of that, and Phil wants to say something about it, too. Hey, if you're looking to refinance your existing home, you need to call Team Hochberg. Here's Becky, self-employed, living a $1 million home. Wanted to refinance, so she called her current lender. Becky's lender declined her loan due to insufficient income. Because her CPA deducts as much of her income as possible, so it showed as less, she calls Team Hochberg, which she should have done in the first place. Team Hochberg's loan officer, Scott Ellis, helped Becky use her bank statements to secure a cash-out refinance. She was able to pay off over $100,000 of debt and saved her over $1,400 a month. Becky's current lender rejected the loan. Team Hochberg saved the day. Saved her over $17,000 a year. If you want to refinance, call Team Hochberg now. 855-56-DAVID. Visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg's helped thousands of WGN listeners. They can't help you if you don't call. 855-563-2843 or 56david.com. And tune in to Home Sweet Home Chicago, hosted by David, Saturdays at 10. Homeside Financials, an equal housing lender, NMLS ID number 1124061. And here's a 10-second note. Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10:30 on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best. Steve probably does have one of those.
Well, I think I've talked to you before things about the switch plate screws.
Oh, are you one of those guys?
Absolutely. They need to be. And I got that from my dad. They need to match.
I didn't even know.
What, do you live all willy-nilly?
I live all willy-nilly. I'm so careless and carefree, I don't even know if my switch plate screws are lined up even.
And you probably ideally want them vertical to line up with the, you know, the switch itself.
The switch itself.
Right.
Sure. So thank you for infecting me with the virus, but yesterday I went and lined them all up, but I did it horizontally.
Mm.
And now, Steve, it's starting to bug me even as I stand here thinking about it.
Yeah, those are all askew.
John, did you hear the texter who said that if they don't make their bed in the morning, they cannot get into a bed that's not made.
So they'll make it before they jump in at
night? Yes, they make it and then they turn the covers back down and get in.
That's funny.
John, when I make the bed, the pillows have to be facing with the openings facing the outside of the bed.
So the pillowcase openings.
Yeah, right. Yeah. John, pictures on the wall must be straight, and of course, side-by-side windows with the blinds at different heights will send me into therapy. Mike, go ahead, Elif.
I was just going to say, I never leave my apartment without making my bed first.
Yeah. That's just a good way to start your day, don't you think?
Yeah, but also, I live in a studio, so when I walk in, it's the first thing I see.
Right.
It just makes you feel unkempt.
Understood completely. John, my crazy problem is I warm up a cup before I put my coffee in it. And so it goes with food. I must warm up the plate before I put the food on it. Now, I don't know I kind of get that on a cold day anyway. John, any car I ride in must have WGN preset on the radio. Whenever I get a rental, I put the buttons on WGN. John, I cannot stand when people mispronounce jewelry in February. John, the money on my wallet has to be faced and grouped by denomination. except for the receipt thing, John, and somebody else had to order their receipts chronologically, I have almost all of the things that you've mentioned. I'm sorry for you. John, I don't like it when people leave locker doors open in the women's locker room after they leave. It really bugs me. My Diet Pepsi must all be facing the same direction in the fridge with the labels in the front. These are the texts you've sent to 312-981-7200, and hopefully you can share your whatever these are with us. You can call as well. John, I have to buy canned goods in threes, but bulk baked goods like donuts must be purchased in even numbers. Canned goods by threes, baked goods even numbers.
I think you're leading to a lot of introspection here today.
What do you mean by that?
Well, people are learning things about themselves.
I guess so, right. If you think about it, you go, yeah, that is kind of messed up. That one is out there a little bit. I mean, I don't know how you got that, but there it is. John, a friend of mine missed a loop on her shower curtain, and it drove me nuts. You ever watch the show Monk? These callers and texters, John, must be related to him. He was OCD. It was a good show. John, all my towels must be over the towel bar with the tag on the back and on the inside. I visit McDonald's every single day for my Diet Coke, and I insist on a receipt. I save the receipt and enter that purchase on my phone every single time. John, I've tried and tried to use abbreviations like LOL and BRB and text messages, but I can't do it. I have to spell things out completely. I don't know if this person is making fun of me, but I'm pretty passive-aggressive about that myself. John, I have to tell me if you've been to this movie. I have to rearrange the dishwasher every time my wife loads it. Open parentheses. This really upsets her. Close parentheses. Really, I mean, look, if you're going to rearrange it after I do it, then maybe I'll stop doing it. But we don't want that. I want to do it. But when I do it, I don't do it the way you like it. So then you come in and redo it. And by the way, a version of that story exists in my house, but the genders are reversed.
Ooh, explain that for me.
I'll go ahead and do it. And I know I don't do it exactly right. We don't get as much in there, or maybe something isn't going to get clean because of the way I've done it.
Yeah, you don't rinse enough.
And every now and then I'll hear some clinking of dishes, and I know what's happening.
You guys do a lot of dishwashing in your house.
We serve
for two people.
We have meals at my home. Okay. And we wash the coffee pot.
Yeah?
We eat almost every day.
But you do the dishwasher, you said, almost every day, right?
Yeah, I run it almost every night. Almost every night.
Don't you love the
for
world?
For two people? What do you? How many dishes do you dirty a day?
Judge much, Mary?
Well, I mean, you know, you are Mr. Environment and everything.
I do want to be a good friend
of
the environment.
Do you use paper plates?
We do not.
That's why, then.
Yeah, we are. At least that's the way we roll. And by the way, I'm not sure that paper plates are more friendly for the environment. This is sort of like cloth or plastic diapers. What's the better way to go? Jerry wanted to say something. Jerry, you're on WGN.
Oh, hi, John. Longtime listener. Love your shows, no matter what time of the day they're on.
Hooray. Thank you for saying that. What's your problem?
Usual habit. I am a longtime Sox fan, and I always keep the score by my chair watching TV, and sometimes the games go away until after midnight, so I have to go to bed, and I will listen to it on TV falling asleep, but the minute it's over, whether it's 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, I have to go back in the house, turn on all the lights, go to my chair, and write that score down because I can't miss keeping score of every game.
So you're not actually doing the box score because you've fallen asleep, but then you have to get up and write down the score?
I will get up in the bedroom, walk all the way into the living room, get my score card next to my chair, and write that score down. Now, I know I could wait till the morning until your show is on. You'll give me the score, but I have to get up. It's an unusual habit I have of keeping score of every game.
What are you thinking about when you're in the middle of the night walking back to write that down? Do you talk to yourself about the need?
Myself, I'm stupid for doing this.
No, I promise you I'm not saying that. We all have these things, but that's a funny one, Jerry.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, John. Love your show.
I love you, despite your idiosyncrasies. So the list goes on. Oh, John, a pet peeve of mine is when people start their cars in this weather and they let them run way too long. I don't know if that's in this category or not, but I noticed that too. And I'm telling you, you know who does this a lot? It's municipal workers, people that work for utility companies, the city, the state. Buses will just sit there idling. And to Mr. Environment here, I don't like that. I wish you would not do that. There seems to be something really convenient about letting a car run rather than having to restart it, even though starting a car is pretty much just hitting a button now. That's all you got to do, and vroom, it starts right up. And it doesn't get that cold in a car. Yeah, maybe, I mean, really, think about that. If you're going to be gone so long that the car gets cold, then you really ought to turn the car off. If you're going to be getting back into the car so soon that you can leave it running, then it's probably going to stay relatively warm. You could turn it off, said me. Our news click, the Daily Web poll question asked you about coronavirus and are you doing anything about your finances as a result? And 5% of you said yes, 81% of you said no, and 14% of you said finances. Who's got finances? My number is 312-981, and that is a good question, incidentally. 312-981-7200. This is WGN. You may share with me your idiosyncrasy, your whatever these things are. Don't, thank you, Olive. But if you want to call in, here's your chance. 312-981-7200. The Archdiocese of Chicago, look at this giant headline, disapproves of plant-based meat during Lent. Are you kidding me? The whole thing about not eating meat during Lent or on Fridays is kind of antiquated anyway, don't you think, these days? I mean, that strikes me as old school, since food is so much more varied, and a lot of you like fish.
I just ate my peanut butter sandwich. Didn't have my turkey.
What would you say, though, Mary, if you had an Impossible Burger in front of you? Would that violate the...
I guess it doesn't.
It's not animal flesh. It's not meat. It's stuff.
But I think it's the... You know,
it's the idea,
the
isn't
idea
it?
Of
it's
it,
the sacrifice.
It still is a substitute meat. So it still has the word meat.
This is
there.
What Catholicism does to people.
The guilt lingers.
Oh my gosh.
Your whole life.
You're and eating like, beets and beans, and now you feel bad about it.
Yeah, and the rule is you don't have to abstain every Friday now. It's just really on Good Friday and Ash Wednesday.
Seriously.
But everybody still does Friday that
okay,
I know
I think that's
of.
Lent light. Right. You need to have a vegetable pizza on Fridays
I
during
still
Lent.
Do Friday because, you know, I just feel like, what the heck? It's only one day a week, you know. Yeah, they have the cheese pizza or, you know, fish or whatever.
But, and I know that I'm not the first one to say this, but there's plenty of you that like the Lou Malnati special pizza with tomatoes and spinach, and mm-hmm. you will get that on Thursday. So here comes Friday. Meanwhile, I'm not eating pepperoni, but you're having what you like all along anyway.
Here comes Lent. Time to go to the fish fries.
Exactly.
And the fish fries are huge. My gosh.
That's just kind of a fun seasonal thing, isn't it, regardless of your faith?
Yeah.
Don't you just kind of think that's kind of a nice passage of time? Spring and summer around the corner, we're doing the fish fries during Easter.
We have a fish fry group, and we go... You
oh,
know,
no kidding. Go to different places.
Once a month, yeah.
That's fun.
It is fun.
Ann, you wanted to say what? You're on WGN. Hi, Ann. What's the matter with you?
Well, I don't like it when people don't return their grocery carts and leave them in the parking lot so that the wind knocks them into other cars. So usually I just get the cart and the one near me and take it back into the store.
Yeah. God bless you. You may eat meat on Fridays. You're a good person.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Ann. I don't know that I have, as a radio host, the special dispensation ability, but I just gave her some, didn't I? Pete, what did you want to say? You're on WGN. Hi, Pete.
Well, there's two things. One, the thing that gives me the mental itch,
yes.
And I've had this, I guess I inherited it in a way. My dad was working on a doctorate in linguistics a long, long time ago, and he always made English a solid thing. The misusage these days of the word unique. There's no such thing as very unique, somewhat unique.
If it's unique,
something
it's
is either unique.
Unique
or not.
I'm out of time. What a unique call. Thank you, Pete. By the way, I have a joke, and the punchline is unique upon him. Hey, Steve.
Yes. Unique upon him? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, yeah, John, what's up?
How do you catch an unusual bandit?
Unique upon him?
Just let me say it, will you, please?
I'm trying to rescue you. I don't know, John, how do you catch a bandit?
Oh, unique upon him. Fine. Well, you're a lot of fun.
I'm sorry, I just wasn't thinking there.
Where's Dean Martin when I need him?
I apologize, really, I was kind of out of whack.
It's 10:33 here on WGN Radio. I'll just move along. Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm good.
All right. I'm glad to hear it. Phil, I have a few questions for you about the restaurant scene. You've got a review of a restaurant in Aurora. You also pointed out to producer Elif that there's a conversation in this very Catholic city on Ash Wednesday about whether or not Impossible Burgers that don't use real meat should be included in or exempt from the don't eat meat during Lent on Wednesday, Good Friday, and Fridays.
Yep.
Are you Catholic, sir?
Yes, I was raised Catholic.
Archdiocese of Chicago disapproves of plant-based meat during Lent. This is a headline screaming at me in front of me right now from WGN-TV. I'm a spokesperson for the Archdiocese of Chicago said you risk losing the whole spirit and meaning of abstaining from meat if you go the fake meat route. I don't know if this is a question for the religion reporter or the Phil Vitale, but what do you think about this, Phil?
Well, I think it's a very interesting debate. This is a story that was written by my colleague, Alexia Elhalde Ruiz, at the paper, and talking about the plant-based meat burgers. Obviously, it's plant-based. There's no meat in an Impossible Burger, although people say if it's cooked on the same grill as the regular patties, maybe the little meat shows up there. But I think for some people, spiritually, this is kind of like a loophole. If you're kind of enjoying meat the way you're traditionally enjoying it, the whole idea behind the Meatless Friday, and I speak as someone who grew up in the old days when being a Catholic meant no meat during Lent, period. I mean, I'm sorry, and no meat Fridays all year round, not just the 40, you know, just the six ones during Lent. But the idea is to do without something, and in so doing, reflect on the larger religious issue here, that referring to Lent and then moving into Good Friday
makes you think about sacrifice,
right? And the Venetian Carnivale, you know, with the masks, and it's their Mardi Gras when they're getting ready. It comes from carne meat and vale farewell. So carnival means farewell to meat.
and that's where I did not know that.
Yeah, and so that was kind of the whole idea. And now we're talking about coastal areas in which the fish is cheap and abundant and not particularly given high value, and meat was very expensive and a bit of a treat, and giving it up meant you're really giving it up something. And now these days you have people saying, well, I'm giving up meat past the lobster tail. And so perhaps they've lost a little sight of the idea of sacrifice in their heads when they just go with something really an expensive seafood.
Well, you and Mary are making me think about this a little differently, though. I mean, at first blush, I scoff at the whole idea, but I think you're right. If the intent is to reflect and to sacrifice, then what we're giving up is burgers, for instance, regardless of what's inside it, because that's the sacrifice. And if we come up with a fake meat substitute, well, then are you really sacrificing? So
yeah.
Maybe there's something to this.
Well, yeah, the faithful and the not quite as faithful as they ought to be faithful come up with these little bits of rationalizations, of loopholes, if you will, and you know, I think what the Archdiocese is probably trying to say is try to be more mindful about what all this is, what the idea is behind giving up meat, and instead of looking for ways of giving up meat by doing without, the least painful way possible.
Exactly. The least painful way possible. And I know there has been a trend in the last few years of rather than thinking about the things I'm going to give up, rather think about the things I'm going to do, be more proactive with your Lenten commitments. So, all right, maybe you're going to give up sugar or alcohol or whatever, but how about if instead of that, I mean, heck, that just makes you feel good about you because now you're healthier. Why don't we do something that's good for somebody else?
And there you go.
That's another way to approach it, which kind of skirts the whole issue, but maybe that's not a bad idea. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Phil Vitale also wrote about a restaurant in Aurora. What's the one that you are reviewing in Aurora, Phil?
It is called Stope Island Social, and there really is a Stope Island in downtown Aurora. It's about a four-block-long, two-block-wide stretch of land in the middle of the Fox River, and that's where the Paramount Arts Theater is, and that's where the casino is. And Amy Morton, who's best known for her two restaurants in Evanston and also being the daughter of the legendary Arnie Morton, opened a restaurant right next door to the Paramount Theater called Stope Island Social.
How's it doing? What do you think? What, I presume it's American food?
It's American food. I mean, you can tell by what this is one of those things in which the location almost dictates the kind of food and kind of restaurant it's going to be. It's right next door to the Paramount Arts Theater. Paramount Arts Theater is one of the best attended theaters in Illinois.
And is beautiful, by the way.
Right. Huge subscription list. People come in. When those matinees are playing on Wednesdays and Saturdays, literally busloads of people show up. Bus pulls up and they call me. So what you have is a restaurant that is in large part designed to service that audience, the people who are coming in for the pre-theater, the people who are coming in for the nice lunch prior to the matinee performance. And so you have a restaurant, a menu that is built for speed. You have a menu that is not trying to trick anybody or make everybody ponder too much about what might be in the food. And it's a menu that also has to appeal to, say, people who are avid theater goers and even from the city and are used to a certain level of restaurant. Right. And also people who, like I said, are coming in on the bus for a nice lunch before they go see whatever's playing at the theater.
So is this a lunch place or do you eat dinner there? And what did you think?
They only serve lunch on matinees days, although they have added a Sunday brunch, and I like it quite a bit. They don't. I mean, they have things like they have like fun stuff like deviled eggs and a very nice hummus that is most remarkable because they have these really cool, heavily smoked carrots that are part of the hummus dish. So these roasted smoked carrots I just sit there and inhale over the dish for a couple of minutes. And then they have steaks because, again, Arnie Morton connection, but they make a point of having half the steaks are the reserve steaks, the little more dry-aged ones, the ones that are priced about what you expect to be priced at a steakhouse, and then others that are about 25% less, and they are not as, you know, they're not going to be prime, but they're going to be a good steak, and now you're only paying $30 for one as opposed to paying closer to $50 for
one. Yeah, no kidding. Well, a lot of people have been asking for something like that all along. The name
of this... It's a tricky part. It's a tricky niche to fill.
Because if you go too cheap, then it's just a cheap steak, and if you go too expensive, then people can't afford it. So you want
exactly. You
want your steak and to be able to eat it too, if I may.
Nicely put.
Yeah, that's something you can use down the road if you need it. Okay,
I'm just writing this down. Hang on. Go ahead.
Stope Island, STOLP, Stope Island Social in Aurora.
Yeah.
I'm going to pause. Come back with me in a second, Phil. Talk to me about the James Beard nominations, and do we have some Chicago representatives? Can you tell us a little bit about that? And if you've got a question for Phil, 312-981-7200. You know, I want to hear from you about the best place you know in the area. Maybe you're in Aurora, maybe you're in Chicago, wherever, for fish. What's the good, I mean, steaks, pizza, hot dogs, Chicago can talk about that all day long. Where's a good place to go for a fish dinner or a fish fry? Maybe Mary's got a recommendation, too. 312-981-7200. Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Hey, Phil, somebody texted in a joke. Can I tell it to you?
Sure.
Hey, Phil, how do you catch a rare rabbit?
How do you catch a rare rabbit? I give up.
unique up on him.
Ah.
See how that works, Steve?
Rare and unique. I see.
I ask the first part, and then the other person goes, huh, I don't know. And then you let them say the second part.
You know what I thought
And
the
then you feign
was?
Interest.
What's the matter, Mary?
I had a different answer.
Oh, hey, Mary, how do you catch a unique rabbit? I don't know what the question is.
By the hair.
By the hair.
Boom.
I like mine better.
Hey,
and
Phil,
that's
are you,
why Vaudeville died.
Are you still there, Phil? Any chance you're still listening to this radio station?
Just barely, yes.
Pat wanted to say something to you. Pat, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Pat?
Yes. Hi, John. Well, you know, it's Ash Wednesday, and being a good Catholic, I thought I would pass on the secret of how we make our holy water.
Oh, okay. How do you?
You boil the hell out of it.
Goodbye, Pat.
Happy Ash Wednesday.
Phil, tell me about the James Beard. Is it the regional nominees? What are we looking at here?
These are the James Beard Awards. Some of them are regional. Most are national awards. And today, the James Beard Foundation came up and announced the list of semifinalists. These are the people that are on the first ballot, which will be voted on to determine the finalists, which are the nominees, the top five in each category. And then they'll be voted on, and then on May 4th in Chicago at the gala, we will find out who won.
Are you
but
one of
now
the voters?
Now we know who's on the ballot.
Yeah. Are you one of the people that gets to vote on this?
I get one vote, yes.
Okay. So did you vote preliminarily at this level as well?
I did not. When I was on the committee a few years ago, I was on the committee that helped put the ballot together, but I'm not anymore.
Okay.
And others are doing it just a fine job without me.
So who are the people that are at least on the ballot now? Who are we looking at here?
Well, the big names, as far as I'm concerned, Boca Restaurant is up for Outstanding Restaurant, which is a national award, and it's a nomination probably past due, but I'm glad they're on the ballot now. And Tsuko, Carlos Gaitan's new Mexican restaurant on State Street, has been named on as one of the best new restaurants of the year.
What's the name of that one again?
Tsuko, T-Z-U-C-O.
T-Z-U-C-O. What are they serving there? Sandwiches? What do they got?
That is fine dining Mexican. That is one of the best Mexican restaurants in the city, and by extension, the country. It's fabulous.
Wow. Okay. Any other restaurants we should know about in the James Beard Award nominations?
Now I'm going to switch over to the chefs because it's more chef awards at this point. Sarah Gruneberg of Monteverde, the very lovely pastry shop, pasta shop, is up for Outstanding Chef as she was last year. She was a semifinalist last year. Emily Sperlin of Lula Cafe is a first-time semifinalist for Outstanding Pastry Chef. In the Rising Star category, which is honor chefs who are 30 years or younger, Alicia Lenz of MFK and Barbiscay restaurants is back on the ballot. Last year, she made the final five. And on for the first time is Janine Lamadou, who is the pastry chef at UGen.
I didn't know that pastry chefs was such a big deal. I mean, you've mentioned some of those names many times before with us, and I guess that's a category unto itself that gets attention, huh?
It is. It is. Chicago has an absolute bounty of talent in the pastry chef category. We are really really spoiled in this town. Oh. And they you know, those sweets, and especially as people are becoming more and more focused on seriously good quality bread, a lot of these pastry chefs are also running those departments as well.
Oh, I see. That makes sense then, too. By the way, Phil, if I may, just I wanted to mention some of the fish places that our listeners are championing. Can I mention a few to you?
Sure.
And some of these are little stops. Some of them are big stops. Mary, is there a place that you and your friends absolutely go to when you do your Friday fish fry tour?
We have gone to Stulgeon's. It's in Villa Park.
Right.
Park Tavern, I think they call it as well. S-T-U-L-G-E-N-S.
Stulgeon's.
Or G-I-N-S, yes.
John Don.
It's a bar.
which, you know, sometimes is the best place for a fish fry. John Don's Dock in Des Plaines. Best fish is Johnson's in Villa Park on Roosevelt Road.
Oh, that's super good, too.
For fish, it's got to be the Greek Islands. For a fish fry, it has to be the VFW or the American Legion. The Greek Islands for fish. John, try in Brookfield Irish Times at the Burlington Northern Metro station. You usually see Irish dancers on Fridays during Lent. Glenn's Diner on Montrose gets a nod right off the Brown Line. That's nice to know. And somebody else mentioned The Office. It says here in Wedron, W-E-D-R-O-N, Illinois, but I think that's a typo because I know of a restaurant called The Office, and I think that's in, what is it, St. Charles or Geneva? Is Wedron, Elif, you're saying that is it? W-E-D-R-O-N, best fish dinners all year round, and a salad bar that's all homemade, so much to choose from. Phil, you want to chime in? Fish places you like in the city or suburbs?
Well, there's Falstrom's on Belmont Road. That's very good. I always remember Calumet Fisheries this time of year, down in the south side. One I've been getting excited about lately is called Porto. It's on the corner of Ashland and Chicago Avenues, and they're seafood with a particular emphasis on Portuguese preparation, and that's very good. You can't beat, for reliability, places like Shaw's Crab House, and I've yet to get into the new RPM Seafood, which Lettuce opened up on the banks of the Chicago River, but I'm hoping to soon.
So,
oh, wow.
Has smelt gone away?
They've gone away from Lake Michigan.
Have they? Yeah, because it used to be a big deal. April 1st was always the opening of the season.
Right. And yeah, that's kind of, that has, yeah, the smelts have, they're gone. For all intents and purposes, and now if you see smelts on the menu, they've probably been plucked out of Lake Superior.
One of them had jumped out of the lake, and it was sitting there on the sand, and it was deteriorating, and you know what I said?
Something about smelt it, but okay.
Boy, that smelt bad.
Ah, there you go. I remember when I was in college and smelt used to beach themselves by the hundreds.
Really?
on the shore of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
I know because we had a dog who thought it would be a really cool idea to roll in them, and man, it took forever to get that smell out.
There's a restaurant I walked by the other day. They used to advertise here a lot, and it looks like they're still in business. Catch 35, which is right downtown, and I don't know much about that place. I'd eaten there before, but to be honest with you, I didn't have the fish. But I suppose that's a fish place that
absolutely. And they have last I looked, they had a location in Naperville, but maybe that's not there anymore. I got to look that up. That's good. Hugo's Frog Bar.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah,
is another one
right downtown as well.
And Naperville.
Joanne wanted to recommend a place. Joanne, you're on WGN. What do you like for fish?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm 86, but I'm talking about a fish boil.
Fish boil? Yeah. Hey, shoot. I've been
okay
to a fish boil.
Now, yeah, it's in Genoa City, Wisconsin. Because I've been up to Door County, I've been all over Florida, I've been all over every place, but that's the best boil. They boil the potatoes. You can sit right out and watch them doing it.
Yeah, so is that what they do?
They
get a big kettle, they put the fish, what do they start with, the fish or the vegetables? But that's how it goes, right, Phil? They do the, have you been to fish boils, I presume?
Yeah.
They boil carrots and potatoes, and I don't know if they put onions or celery in there, and some salt.
And then at some point, kerosene goes in, and they let the whole thing boil all over the place.
Exactly. Okay, any other notes from you, Phil, either on the James Beard side or good fish places you're digging these days?
Let's see. One of the big categories for us in James Beard is the Best Chef Great Lakes. That's a regional category that includes Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. And there are 20 semifinalists, and 10 of them are from Chicago.
Wow.
So Ty Dang of Haisu, Brian Jupiter of Frontier, Gene Cato at Momotaro, Jason Hamill for the second time at Lula Cafe, Ethan Picas of Cellador Provisions, Noah Sandoval of Oriole, John Shields and Karen Uri Shields of Smith, Mario Russell of Kiko, Eric Williams in Virtue down in Hyde Park, and Lee Wolin of Boca. So that's nice for Boca. They have an outstanding restaurant, and they have their chef, Lee Wolin, up for the Best Chef Great Lakes category.
A quick note here from one of our listeners. John, it is The Office, and it is in Wedron or Wedron, W-E-D-R-O-N. It's about 5 miles northeast of Ottawa. It has excellent food. I'll tell you what, some of those small towns outside the Chicago area, like even outside the immediate collar counties, but when you get just a little further out, some of those small towns have a great little restaurant that folks drive from miles around to go to. And they aren't the kind of places you and I talk about. But someday, Phil, you and I ought to do those places. Let's list some of the great, you're driving around in Ottawa, Illinois, or someplace like that. Where's a real good restaurant to go to? I like the sound of that. How about you?
Yeah, it'd be a road trip.
Okay, so 312-981-7200. You can get started now. Call or text me with your suggestions along those lines, and then we'll feature them maybe next Wednesday when Phil visits with us. It's always a pleasure, Phil. Thanks for your time today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com/dining. Interesting obit today. I don't know if you saw it. It's 11:08. This is WGN. John Williams here till noon and on social media. WGN King John Jens Nygaard Knudsen has passed away at the age of 78. And Jens Nygaard Knudsen made your life better and your kids' lives better and your grandkids' lives better. He is the creator of Lego minifigures. He died of ALS at the age of 78. That wasn't a thing until he said, if we're going to make Legos, let's make little Lego people. He was also responsible for the creation of some of the sets, including the classic space sets that you would play with, where you'd make the spaceships and then the little astronaut people in there. And I've imagined, I haven't seen it yet, but maybe if you've seen it, you could send it or text it to me. John Williams at WGNradio.com. Our phone number here is 312-981-7200. But I imagine somebody somewhere is crafting a Lego memorial service with little Lego people and a little Lego church mourning the man that made them.
Lego holds such a special place in my heart.
A lot of us. You played with those as a kid?
So much.
I'm glad because, you know, I had sons and I'm a guy and I grew up with those. But my sisters didn't play with Legos like my brother and I, or maybe my sons did. Little girls play with them too.
Mm-hmm. I loved the little people. I loved that you could change their wigs. You know, like you could pull it off and then stick another one on. Everything about them was just so fun and cool.
So you liked the people as much as the little blocks?
I liked the people most.
Yeah.
And building the scenes.
I like the people the least. I don't know if that is a boy or girl.
They're so funny, though.
So the guy that gave us those is gone. And search around, and if you see the Lego memorial service for him, I hope somebody's doing that. They've got that Lego Crafters TV show, which I haven't watched yet, but looks awesome. And so I suspect that something for Jens Nygaard Knudsen is out there too. Hey, Paul has a different problem. Paul, you're on WGN. I don't know if we can help you, Paul, but what's on your mind?
Hello. Hi, John. How you doing today?
Good. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, my wife and I have booked a cruise that we're going to go in last part of June into early part of July. We're headed out to the Caribbean. My wife is retiring finally, and we've got this great trip planned, like I said, a cruise. And I was telling her last night, you know, I'm rethinking whether we should go with all the corona stuff. And I know you've got the Kelly cruises that you are involved with, and Steve. And I want to know your thoughts. Should it be something maybe we should reconsider or reschedule, or what's the thought out there about this?
It's funny, I just got a text literally minutes ago from a friend who we've cruised with before, with kellycruises.com. We're going on a trip with a lot of folks in October, and she and her husband have a trip booked for Hawaii. And she's a nurse by trade, and they are today deciding if, in fact, they're going to take their trip to Hawaii. They don't want to be stuck in a hotel quarantined. A lot of Asians are in Hawaii, and they might not take the trip that they've planned and paid for. I don't know. I'm hard-pressed to tell you all what to do. I mean, literally, I would say go. You know, Peter Greenberg, our travel expert, was on with Ro Khan yesterday, and he said this. There are 365,000 people. It was like, I remember 360, 365, because there's that many days in a year. But it's like that. Say 360,000 people on cruise ships in the world right now, all over the world. And you've heard about one ship that had many people get sick on it, but he still likes your odds. He is not counseling people to cancel their trips. But, you know, if you can't have fun on your trip, then what's the point of going and accomplishing it if you can't relax and go to restaurants and be in public places?
But there have been stories in the past, right, where flu epidemics have overtaken cruise ships, and those stories didn't sort of discourage you, right?
Brenda and I were on a cruise once, and people were getting sick, and they went to a kind of quarantine where the doors stayed open, you couldn't touch the buffet utensils. They went into a sort of mode to try and safeguard us all. And boy, that hasn't kept me from wanting to travel again. What are your concerns, Paul? What's your worst case scenario here?
Well, like you mentioned, being stuck on the ship, being away from mainland American hospitals, if I should, me and my wife get sick. It's a captive audience there. If you're on that ship and somebody, you know, one person out of these thousands gets it, you're stuck. I mean, they're going to close down the whole deal. And
when are you supposed to leave?
End of July, right after Father's Day.
And do you have to make a decision about this soon? What are your options?
Well, I've put down about $500 already as a down payment, and the balance is due in a week or two. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know. I said, do we stay mainland and do something else? And we're looking forward to going. We love this idea of this trip. But like I said, you know, being on, as much as I love a ship, I don't want to be stuck in a room, you know, looking out the balcony the whole time.
How big is the ship you're going to be on? How many passengers, do you know?
It's one of the... what is the line?
Princess or Disney or...
She's the blue and yellow one.
the great big blue and yellow
Norwegian?
One. Norwegian?
IKEA?
Celebrity?
Legos?
You've mentioned them all except the one I'm thinking of.
It doesn't really matter, but I mean, you're going to be on this cruise. And I'm sorry, I know you mentioned this. Where you say you're going again? The Caribbean?
Yeah, Aruba, Curacao, Bonaire, and we fly to Puerto Rico, and then we go out of Puerto Rico, and St. Martin, I think, is also one of the stops.
I'll tell you what, a couple listeners are calling in, having cruised just days ago. You got a minute?
Sure, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, let's see what they say. That's coming up. Shel Singletary is going to join us, personal finance columnist at the Washington Post. She writes books about how to invest your money. I talked to her off the air with Elif this morning. We were asking her what should people do if the market's dropping a couple thousand points because of the coronavirus, and she was almost yelling at us on the phone. She was so emphatic about what you should do. And what might surprise you about this conversation is all of the things that you should not do. She's going to talk to us at 11:33. It's 11:17. So it's Paul is on line one, right? Hey, Paul, are you still there?
I'm still here, John.
I appreciate your listening, and thank you for calling. Oh, I have to say this, and then we'll keep going. When it comes to the weather, we all want to know what did Skilling say. Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist. Yeah, that's Tom Skilling, and that's weeknights on WGN-TV. Paul and his wife have a trip scheduled this summer for the Caribbean, and now he's double-thinking it. He's got $500 down. What should he do? Because he's worried about being stuck on a ship, not having American medical facilities. What if there's a virus? Listen to some of the texts. John, we just fully paid for our trip to Italy in May. Oh, well. John, I just got back from a cruise. It was absolutely fine. We did a Mexican Riviera cruise. Hey, John, we're postponing our trip to Paris in March due to the illness going around. And friends had a cruise scheduled for March in Asia, trip of a lifetime. The cruise line refunded and gave 25% discount on the next cruise. That's what Peter told Roe they would do. I don't know that that applies to all of them, but it seems like they are acknowledging that people like Paul are nervous about this. Wally, yeah. You're on WGN. Wally, you say you just got off a cruise ship. Is that right?
Yeah. Hi, John. Yeah, last Friday I got off. We were down in the Caribbean, 7 days, Royal Caribbean. I usually go on Carnival. They were taking every possible precaution. Every morning I got out and I left the room and I grabbed my door handle to check the door was locked, and it was wet. All the handrails in the hallway were wet. They had people just walking up and down, wiping every possible surface. Going into and out of the dining room, they have those little voluntary little alcohol things that you can squirt. Well, there was no voluntary about it. There was a girl standing there with a little squirt bottle. Everybody in and out of the dining room had to take a little squirt of alcohol. It was, I've got a Hawaiian booked in September, and I've got another Caribbean booked in August.
How do you feel about that?
I'm not canceling them. believe me, the cruise lines do not want their ships quarantined. They're going to take every precaution possible to avoid something like that happening. So I would not, if I were him and he was going, I wouldn't go in July because of hurricane season, but...
Wally, you're not helping.
that would be my concern.
Wally, I want you to travel with us sometime with one of our Kelly Cruises trips. Have you come on with us sometime?
I have not, but I'm waiting till I retire before I could do that.
All right. We'll travel with you soon. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks.
And Janet wanted to say something. Janet, you're on WGN. Hi, Janet.
Hello. I have never been out of the country. My husband finally convinced us for his 70th birthday to go away to Italy on Monday. I paid in full to go away May 6th to northern Italy. And we're going.
Yeah. And do you have apprehension about that?
No. We're going to go unless they cancel.
Unless the tour says don't come.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't want to tell anybody to go and then they get hit by a bus or they get sick, but I have every confidence you're going to be just fine, Janet.
Unless they cancel. Right. Yeah. I'm not worried.
Okay. Good. Have a great, safe trip. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Paul, is your wife as anxious about it as you? Is one of you more leery about this than the other?
It's more me, because I mentioned to her last night and she's like, oh, she said, well, they check. And I said, well, do they check everybody before they get on board? And she says, yeah, I think they do. I said, I don't think they can do that. They could ask you, but
you'll be asked to fill out a form, but yeah, they're not giving you a physical when you get on the boat.
No. You don't present, test results that you got 10 minutes ago, but wouldn't be a bad idea. But yeah, we're on that Freedom of the Seas for Royal Caribbean. That's the one
Royal
I was trying
Caribbean.
To think of.
Yeah. Well, I guess you don't have to. I think this is going to happen, too. You don't have to decide right now, right?
Well, yeah, I'm looking at, when the due date is as far as paying off the balance. But it's sometime in early March, and I'm like, okay, and it's like $2,600 and... it's due March 30th, so March 30th. I have some time.
Yeah. I just have the suspicion that this is not going to be as big a news story. The pace with which the new cases are being reported is going down. The president's going to talk about this at 5 o'clock this evening, and the CDC is going to say that human-to-human transmission in the United States is inevitable. It's going to happen. You're going to hear about this. You might actually be hearing less about it because the pace will dissipate, and there is hope that within maybe a year or so, they're going to have something to combat this, but nothing in the very near term. I'm just telling you the things I know. I don't know if this is helpful, but I think if you were just to do it mathematically to say, what are the chances of me getting sick by coronavirus going to the Caribbean? Now, what are the chances of me getting food sickness or getting hit by a bus while I'm there? I would, if I were you, I would still be getting on that boat. But I don't want to make the decision for you, my friend.
Yeah, I don't expect you to, but I just wondered what, you know, like I said, you involved with travel. If
do you have travel insurance? Do you have traveler insurance?
You know, I don't, but I think I'm going to.
I bought mine the other day. We're taking a trip in October, and we paid for insurance so that if there is something, like you're worried that you're going to get sick there, and you are not going to have access to Rush or Northwestern or University of Chicago.
Right.
If you wanted to or needed to be lifted out of there, you want insurance that's going to put you on that helicopter. And that's a $50,000 bill if you have to pay for it.
Yeah. I keep thinking of that, you know, that one cruise ship where the couple, the older couple, was stuck in their cabin. And all you saw was that poor guy, pictures of him laying in his bed, you know, and I thought, well, I guess that's where what you would do at home or in a hospital anyway, but I'd rather be there, you know, at one of those two instead of that room.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'll tell you what, do me this favor, you know, talk to your spouse, talk to your God, talk to your travel agent, and would you call me back in a couple of days, Paul, and let us know what y'all decide to do?
I will, yeah.
And if I can help you with any other information, I'll put it on the radio. If you want to just call and check in and let us know where you are with your mind, I'd like to hear from you.
Okay, great. Thanks, John.
All right, Paul. We're going to try and help you any way we can, but that's just a decision we can't make. John,
right.
We are, yeah. So good luck to you, and safe travels, or enjoy your domestic stay. So then they stayed in the United States, they went to Nebraska, and they got coronavirus. John, we are canceling our trip in Italy this year. John, cruise ships are floating Petri dishes these days. They've always been floating Petri dishes. John, I will generally accept any ditched vacations, just doing my part to help. So if any of you have booked a suite on that Norwegian cruise line and you can't use it, Dave at 224 is happy to take your vacation for you. Travel insurance, John, aren't all of his concerns typical for travel in general?
I'm definitely turned off by the idea of going on a cruise ship after last week's quarantine.
You mean the...
Princess Diamond?
Yeah.
Diamond Princess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be... I don't... First of all, you're going on vacation to enjoy your week, and then...
I think that should be the principal concern for Paul. Like, I might persuade him that it's going to be safe. I could persuade you, Elif. I could give you all the facts and numbers I just gave Paul. But if you're sitting there in your ship or in your hotel and you aren't feeling it, then it's not a vacation anyway.
Yeah.
So if you can't enjoy it, then it almost doesn't matter what the science or I or the probabilities say. If you can't enjoy your... Hey, Paul, if you can't enjoy your vacation, don't take your vacation. Take it some time when you can. I could... Now, this is a little self-serving because I want to help a sponsor, but Brenda and I are traveling with the folks from Kelly Cruises. We'll be going to Turkey all the way to Italy.
I'd go to Turkey, though.
Yeah, that's funny because you're...
And Italy.
You have family in Turkey, and Italy is fabulous, and it's going to be
Greece.
A fabulous cruise. Yeah, and we're going through Greece, by the way. And we'll see places we've always wanted to see, and you have too. Visit kellycruises.com. Big picture of me there. It's 11:27. I know. I hit that button. I shouldn't hit that button. Steve, don't do the news. Do it in about 3 minutes. Well, in the meantime, take another call or two. Let's go to a Judy. Let me see. Make sure, first of all, we're done with Paul. So thank you for your call, sir. And Judy wanted to say something. Hi, Judy. You're on WGN.
Hi. I'm from the Milwaukee area, and Sunday I leave on a Southern Caribbean cruise. I refuse to live my life in a bubble. And I think the media is just so creating pandemonium with this. More people have died from, I just heard on the news too, more people have died from the regular flu this year than have ever caught, like, with the corona here, whatever. You got to live your life. You're going to put yourself in a bubble and not enjoy your life? Life's too darn short for that.
That's where I am. That's where I am,
yep,
on this too. But, you know, we're going to, you will hear on this radio station and read in newspapers and see on TV this week and next week, The president is talking about it tonight. I think it'll be very interesting to hear, Judy, how they couch it this evening. They're doing a special press conference, the president and the CDC, if I understand correctly, Steve, and they're going to talk about this evening.
Well, and part of that is because he's coming under fire on Capitol Hill today for having not done enough. And, you know, when he was in India, he kind of downplayed it. Yesterday, his economic advisor, Kudlow, said it's virtually zipped up or something like that, or air sealed tight, that we weren't having issues. All of that while the CDC was saying that, you know, we should make preparations that this probably is going to grow here.
CDC says that schools and businesses should plan how they're going to handle it if and when it comes. Think about that.
But again,
I do have a question. He mentioned something about travel insurance. How do you go about acquiring that?
Well, you can get it from a variety of spots. You might find your credit card offers it. I know the Chase Sapphire card does. There are companies we work with, TripMate, which is a third-party vendor that you can buy it from. I mean, if you do an online search, you can find travel insurance.
TravelGuard is one as well.
Yeah, maybe even just your regular insurance agent.
I will check with you then.
But I don't think they're going to cover you if you're afraid. I've had people say, you know, we're worried about what's going on in Barcelona, we don't want to go. Well, that's not covered. You know, that's not a...
No, is this true also? I mean, Steve knows a little bit more than this, about this than the average bear, because he runs a travel agency himself, and he takes a lot of listeners on trips. But it seems like right now, Steve, some of these travel providers are canceling trips for people who don't want to go. Do you know that? I mean, are you seeing that as well? That someone says, I don't want to go on the cruise, and they say, okay, you don't have to go on the cruise. We'll refund your ticket.
Well, that might be up to individual cruise lines.
I think the challenge for the administration this evening is, if you don't alarm people sufficiently and stuff starts to happen, we're going to say, hey, where was the leadership? Why didn't you tell us? By the same token, you don't want to fan the flames of hysteria where it's not at all necessary. So I think the very words that they use are so critical this evening. That's why if I'm the president's people, and I don't know that there's any of these people left, but they ought to say, boss, don't wing it. Read the script. Let the doctors answer the questions. Don't ad lib a word. It's 11:34. You know, earlier on the show today, we were talking about Windy City Rehab. Did you watch that show?
No.
They've got another season coming up on HGTV, so you'll still get a chance to see them.
So did your guests say that those shows where they're trying to decide whether to buy this house or that house, that those are sometimes actors?
Oh, yeah.
I thought those were real couples. I mean, I don't watch a lot of those shows,
now,
but
I knew that about some shows. Like, there's shows where they'll go to three or four different houses and then decide which one to buy.
Right. They want a beach house. And so.
Or should we go with the big lawn in the country? You know, so they got those.
This one has the loft you wanted, honey.
And what usually has happened, a version of that is that they have already picked out their house. They're going to buy a house.
Right.
And then they go ahead and sort of reverse engineer it. Then they act as though they're interested in these other houses, but they buy the house they were planning on buying all along. So sometimes those are people acting, but not
paid actors.
Really are owning the house. But in this case, in Windy City Rehab, our guest said that, in fact, the people that were the buyers weren't the buyers. They were actors they hired just to play.
Wow.
That's a terrible thing, and it should not be done.
Reality TV, right?
Well, that's the thing, too. And it's not just that. It's that it's not very real, the quality of the work. That's what some of these lawsuits are. John, if you want to talk about fraud, they say they have sold them for tons of money, and then you look it up, and the property sometimes have never actually sold at all. John, there's a Lincoln Park 4 flat. They said they filled with tenants and sold for a ton of money, and that was not true. John, I use the Windy City Designs. That's great. She's great at that. But then I use my own contractor. It's a win-win. John, I feel misled. As a licensed realtor and home flipper, I always felt the budgets were too low. Windy City Rehab is a complete sham. Lou Manfredini texted in because that's what he does. And he said, you've got to remember, these are good shows. They're not good houses. These people are in the business. They're TV people. They make TV programs with these people that do home flipping. But remember, it's all about the show. It's not about the house. So if you buy those things, buyer beware, said Lou. We asked her to come on. Now her name suddenly escapes me. I've got it written down here. A long time ago when the show first hit, we said, wow, you got a going concern there. Come on the show. And they said, yeah, we're too busy. They sure were. On a phone line now is Michelle Singletary. She is the personal finance columnist at the Washington Post, and she has been writing, talking, and thinking about your reaction to the coronavirus and the fact that the market's given up about 2,000 points in the last couple of days. Michelle, you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on.
If I'm fortunate enough to have money in an IRA or a mutual fund, what should I do?
A long-term plan, you've got a couple decades of retirement, do nothing. Absolutely nothing. You cannot panic on day-to-day gyrations of the market because the market does what the market does. It goes up, it goes down. But if you look historically over time, it settles in and you'll get a return depending on the time periods that you pick, anywhere from 6 to 8%, in some cases 10%. So you just need, and I know that's hard to say because you're hearing all these headlines and more cases and, you know, people are dying, they're trapped on ships, what should I do? But you have to do nothing. And if in a way to if I can remind people what happened during the Great Recession, when the losses were much greater than they are right now, anywhere from 30 to 50%, depending on how you were invested, but those people got back those losses and then some. Those folks who stayed and didn't panic.
Maybe that's instructive, but before we go there, let's go here. You said that the market has day-to-day fluctuations, but this isn't a day-to-day fluctuation. 2,000 points in 2 days is not the market's just going up and down, right?
It actually is. I mean, think about it. In the last, 15 months, at the end of 2018, the market went down. Then this past summer, it went down about 3%. And then, I mean, so we tend to look at the big headline things, but throughout the year, the market is moving, up and down, 2%, 3%. It's when you take it together, yeah. I mean, I'm not minimizing the fact that it can, you're like, make you, pause. But you have to look at it over time, and you cannot look at day to day or week to week or month to month. You've got to look at it on a long stretch of period because, for the most part, most regular people are invested in the market for retirement. And if you are in your 30s or 20s or 40s, you've got 2, 3, 4 decades to retirement. Even if you're in retirement and you're retired, you still could be facing 2, 3, maybe even 4 decades in retirement, if you're going to reach your hundreds, which is not, inconceivable. So you do need to still stay in the market for growth.
Friend of ours, Bob Westrick, he's a financial advisor here in town, said something like that to me once. He said, you're thinking about your retirement as the end date. You need to think of that as a date for which you're going to need 30 more years of money. So
exactly right.
So then he says, do you think in 30 years the market will be higher than it is now? I say, yeah. He said, well, then why are you worried about what it did yesterday? Even as a retired person or a near retired person, your horizon isn't 2 years. It may be 42 years.
That's right. And in the case of what just happened now, your horizon is not 2 days, right? It's 2 decades.
Okay, fine.
And
but
listen.
Go ahead,
go
Michelle.
Ahead.
No. You're the expert.
Well, I've been getting emails from readers because they're like, you don't know what you're talking about, But listen, I do. I'm in the market. My husband's in the market. We save both in a tax advantage account and after tax account. So I got money on the line just like you have money on the line. I'm not going to tell you something that I'm not doing myself. Now, I'm not saying that I look at that drop and thinking, oh, my goodness. But I also know that I have to be a patient investor and I have to be a smart investor and not react. As I wrote in my column in the Washington Post, it's like when you're getting taught to drive, and when your car skids or is out of control, the instructor will tell you, you've got to, turn into the swerve or skid, depending on the kind of car you have, or look where you're going. You can't, because a lot of times we panic, we take our hands off the wheels, we're screaming. So that's what you're going to do if you try to pull out now when you've got, several decades to retirement. You got to stay calm, keep your hands on the wheel, meaning stay in the market, and look to where the car is going, and when you can, steer your car back onto the road safely. The same thing with your investments.
Michelle, this is me investing. Whoa! Oh! Oh, look out!
Right, exactly. It's not, and I think also because we have such access to our accounts now, we can look at it all the time, all day long. We can, log on and see it, real time what's going on. And I haven't looked at my portfolio the last 2 days. I said, I'm not going to do it because I know it's going to drive me nuts the more you have. And listen, if you have 100% in equities and you're retired, then that means that you are probably overexposed in equities. So if you need that money, say, in the next 3 to 5 years, then you do need to have a portfolio that has money that is not subject to these turbulent movements. So in other words, that you need to make sure you got money to buy milk and bread and pay your rent. And if this money is your rent money and your bread money, it should not be in the market.
Right,
so you might have 60% in equities and say, 40 in bonds or 30 in bonds and 10 in cash. So you do need to be prudent now, right? You don't have, that's why we have an emergency fund. You don't invest your emergency fund because if something happens, you want to be able to access that money.
Okay, but then, Michelle, hold on a second. Her book is, by the way, The 21-Day Financial Fast, Your Path to Financial Peace and Freedom. Michelle Singletary, also, obviously, personal finance columnist for The Washington Post. But Mary on line one says she was told to get out of the market. And I think you're missing one other point, too. Coronavirus has infected not just some folks, but the markets and maybe your money. So what are you going to do about that? And Michelle Singletary has some very singular advice about this, doesn't she? We'll pick it up here in 60 seconds. By the way, about coronavirus making people sick and them not wanting to travel, the fear that you might get sick if you travel. John, my husband got sick in India and had to see a hotel doctor in India. He gave him great advice and medicine. It cost us $25. Yeah, it's interesting that depending on the kind of healthcare plans they have in other parts of the world, sometimes it costs you less to get treated over there, sometimes nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Than it does here. If you're in Europe, if you're in Canada, if you're in France or England, you go get fixed and they don't bill you hardly nothing.
I've had people who had to get things checked out on my trips and they get treated pretty quickly and there's no charge.
The U.S. Postal Service has issued a warning about email scams that claim to be from the Postmaster General. There's a coronavirus scam going out there, too. This one's about you get an email that says that they couldn't deliver a package and it's worth $100,000 and they ask for personal information in order to deliver it. There's another email scam saying that there's unpaid postage due and you need to give them your credit card number. The USPS does not email customers directly to demand money like that. But some folks fall prey. It's important to understand cybercrime's out there every day. Every 2 seconds, somebody's identity gets stolen. And guess what? Somebody's working on your case, maybe right now. You could miss identity threats if you're just monitoring your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions, but LifeLock sees things every day that you might miss on your own. So here's what you should do. Join now. You save up to 25% on your first year with the promo code LifeLock. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use the promo code LifeLock when you get there or when you call to save 25%. Michelle Singletary is the personal finance columnist at the Washington Post. And folks, has this been an especially busy time for you, Michelle? Have you noticed the folks are really wound up on this?
Yeah,
I've been getting quite a few emails from readers who worried. I got an email just not too long ago from a 37-year-old who was watching his portfolio, his retirement portfolio. He's like, I need to get out. Don't you think I should get out? And before he told me his age, I said, so how old are you? And then he told me he was 37. And I said, look, dude, you got like 20, 30, 40 years to retirement. You're going to be okay. But I get it. He's married, got kids, trying to pay the bills, and seeing your portfolio go down, you know, even, you know, $500 seems just crushing. But you gotta stay fast. Now, this means this is a good time for you to take a look at your portfolio and see if it's well diversified. Does it reflect your risk tolerance? So if you can't sleep and you just worry so much that maybe you are overexposed, because investing is also about how comfortable you're going to be, because you don't want to be doing things at the last minute, like, you know, selling when you should just be staying put. And so that's why you want to look at and see how you're investing and just make sure that, you know, maybe you shouldn't be 100% in equities because you just can't stomach these roller coaster rides in the market.
Well, if everything you say is true, maybe I should take a lot of money, like I've got a lot of money, but take any money I can get my hands on and put it in an index fund, because it's taken this wobble, but surely it's going to come back. So I know that's market timing, but it seems like a good time to try that. What do you say, Michelle?
Well, you know, I like what they call dollar cost averaging. My husband and I invest a certain amount of money every month, no matter what's going on with the market. And that way you catch it when it's, you know, you buy more shares when it's down, you're buying less when it's high. That's not timing the market. What you're talking about is like, okay, let me wait and see what the market's going to do. Well, then you might buy too high, and you don't want to do that. So just, I personally think, for regular folks, just pick an amount that you can invest every month in your retirement plan, and maybe you want some money in a, you know, an after-tax fund. Index funds are good. Costs are low. A low-cost index fund, you could do growth, you could do mid-cap, which is middle-sized companies, small-sized companies, international companies. You just have that's what diversification is about.
Do you think there is a sector that is immune somewhat to this trend, this virus?
You know, I hesitate to ask that because I am not a financial advisor. So, you know, I don't want people like Michelle said to go buy healthcare stocks. You know, but you can look and see, you know, what industries, you know, no matter what's going to happen, you know, may not take a hit. You're going to always need to turn your lights on. So utilities, those kinds of things. People are going to still need health care, definitely, right? But you, when you're looking at sectors, that should be part of an overall conversation about how you want to be invested. And the way I invest, I don't even do it by sectors. I look at what do I want my portfolio to do? So I'm in growth index funds. I'm in small cap funds. I'm in, you know, I have some in the international market. And that's how I look at investing, like across the board, an overall plan. The average person, that's the best way to invest.
All right, now hold on, Michelle. Lots of calls for you, and here we go. We'll start with Mary on line one. Mary, your question or comment, what was the advice you were given, Mary?
I was given to get out of the market completely in December because somebody thought it was really going to do poorly. So I took all my money and put it in a money market. And now I've been told to put money back in. So I've steadily put money back in as of Monday. But now I'm freaking out because I don't know what advice to take. Put it in, take it out.
Who told you this, Mary? Who were you listening to?
I was listening to actually my ex-husband, who was very, 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 very savvy with, I mean, he really, you know, that's how he made his living.
Well, he was right. So, I mean,
well, I don't know how savvy he is. He let you go, for one.
But wait a minute. And the market has been flat year to date, right? I mean, we gave back all of our gains. So if you stayed out starting December 31st, that wasn't a terrible decision today.
Okay. First of all, don't listen to people don't listen to advice like that, because you would have been better off sitting down with someone who looks at your whole financial situation. How much money do you need now? How much money do you have saved? Mary, you sound kind of young, but how long do you have to retirement? Are you already retired?
No, I'm 64, so I'm really trying to get out at 66.
Okay, so what you probably need to do is sit down with a fee-only financial advisor, preferably not your ex, and have them look at your entire situation. Because even at 64, you could live another 20 or 30 years. And this is what you need. Everybody listening, listen. Why do you need to invest? When I ask people that question, they really don't know the answer. You want to make sure that your money keeps pace with inflation. So you want to put it in something that will at least do that, but you want a little bit more than that. So taking all of your money out of the market and putting it in the money market, which is essentially cash, right? So in 10 years, that cash is not going to be worth what it is now, right?
Right,
you can't buy what you need in 10 years with that cash, right?
Right.
You're going to need some growth. So that's why that advice was extremely bad, because you're not even going to keep pace with inflation. Because what are cash accounts paying now? Like, you know, money market CDs, right? Less than, you know, if you can get 2%, probably not. Somewhere under that, correct?
Right.
So if the inflation rate is 2 to 3 or 4%, hopefully it doesn't get that high, then that means your money is not growing, and that's not good. That's why that advice is bad. So
am I okay to get back in now? Would you say
you
it's
okay? You can do some dollar cost averaging now, but before you even do that, Mary, I really encourage you to sit down with a professional, okay?
Okay.
You can, you know, do a fee only.
But let me insert this. So how much money do you have on the sidelines right now, Mary? How much did you take out?
My whole $200,000.
Okay, so I'm just, what about something like this, Michelle? And don't hold me to the numbers. I'm just talking about the principle. Say take $200,000 and divide it by five and say over the next 5 months I'm going to put a fifth of that every dollar cost average for the next few months and get it back into the market that way. Something like that, Michelle. What do you think about that?
I think that she shouldn't listen to me or you.
Oh, come on. That was a good idea.
She should have a professional look at her situation, because we don't know enough about that money, right? How much is she going to, is she going to retire next year or in 2 years? So what percent of that money may she need to for her everyday living expenses? Does she have a pension? Does she, you know, is she going to collect Social Security?
Okay.
Has she already
don't listen to John Williams. But
Security?
Michelle, you said use a fee for service.
Fee only financial planner.
So in other words, some guy's going to charge you so many dollars an hour or a visit rather than a percentage of your assets. Is that what you're
correct.
Saying? Okay.
They're correct. Now, some people do have, you know, professionals where they pay them based on the, how much they have under management. With $200,000, I think that she'd be, do better to do a fee-only financial planner who can look at her overall. This is why you don't listen. Now, what we're doing right now, Mary, and to those who are listening, is we're giving you general information, trying to calm you down, trying not to panic. But you would not take financial advice from me on a radio program for your actual dollars. That's not smart. Don't listen to your coworker. Don't listen to your ex, for sure. You've got to talk to someone who can look at everything that's going on in your life. Are you going to stay put? Do you want to sell? See, all of these kind of questions, you can't. I can't answer right now on this radio program. So you listen to me to calm down. I do know what I'm talking about, but specifically for your individual situation, do not take advice from someone who hasn't looked at the totality of your financial life.
Mary, good luck, and I appreciate Michelle's enthusiasm for all of that. We have time for one more call. Robert, you're on WGN. What did you want to say, Robert?
Well, I appreciate your guest. I've been in this business for over 20 years and been advising people for over 40. We need to own equities. The older we get, then we need to have some fixed income to protect us against the ups and downs. We need to rebalance against the asset classes. Your guest is talking about not investing in a particular company or industry, but asset classes, large, small, international, and value. That's the way we look at it. And those asset classes, particularly the small and value, give us more return over the long run. We've all been captivated, all of my clients have been captivated about the large stocks, the Dow and the S&P, and now kind of, you know, they're kind of seeing what's the downside of picking just one asset class instead of having a diversified portfolio.
Right.
And the last thing is, after you diversify, you rebalance periodically.
That's right.
Every 3 months, twice a year, once a year, rebalance. What's gone up, you sell down to your target. And you take that money and buy what's gone down back up to its target.
And that's why most investors only earn about 4% a year, where the market will give us 8, 9, or 10% a year if we're disciplined.
I got it. Listen, Robert, very helpful. It sounds like you know your stuff, and obviously Michelle Singletary sure does too. The 21-Day Financial Fast, Your Path to Financial Peace and Freedom, is her book. Michelle Singletary, personal finance columnist at the Washington Post. Michelle, you're terrific. Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're so welcome. And listen, I encourage people to seek out the column, which I just wrote about. You know, I talked to a dozen or so financial planners, and I think they gave some terrific advice, much like your last caller, to really help them. I'm very concerned about people, and I don't want you to do things rationally. Yeah. And folks, definitely don't listen to your ex.
All right, Michelle, you have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
There's her advice. Gee, are you writing all of this down? Gee, Suki's down the hall in the Studio D getting ready for the business lunch. How are you, Gee?
Fantastic. And you are so right. Michelle is incredible.
Yeah.
Love hearing that advice. It's similar to the advice that Terry Savage gave yesterday.
I was listening to your show, and I said, Elif, I think we're going to need to do a version of that. So there's ours.
The more the merrier, especially right now when everyone is so worried.
The president's talking at 5 o'clock tonight, more, I think, about the disease side than the investment mm-hmm. side. What are you doing today?
Well, we're going to be actually talking to a financial inspirer, and she specializes in folks that are emerging affluent. So maybe you're the first generation in your family that has come into money or has made a lot of wealth, and she's going to have advice for you.
That's all coming up. That means it is 12 o'clock. This is WGN.